Thank you, worship team, very much. Let's start off with prayer. Will you bow with me? Lord, I'm so thankful to be not only a part of the church universal, everyone who's ever been saved, everyone who you've called by grace, everyone who you've called out of darkness and put into your marvelous light, but Lord, I'm especially thankful to be a part of this local body, this church, Christ Fellowship Gadsden. So thankful. And Father, I pray, Lord, as one of the leaders of this church, who's primarily responsible, Lord, for not only leadership, but especially leadership in the Word, that you would please help me to now do this rightly and to do this with your power, not on my own strength, Lord, but with the power that you supply, so that in all things you get the glory. And I ask, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, that he would be pleased to take these truths that we hear from your word into our hearts, and then secondly, to give us grace to walk out in them, to do them, to walk in obedience to your word. Please, Lord, help us do this morning, and I ask this in Jesus' perfect name. Amen. The title of this message this morning is Prayer is the Way to Our Joy. Prayer is the way to our joy. You may recall that we are in a series called Motivated to Pray. And that's because we start out every new year with a series on prayer so that we make sure that we start this year off right and well, and how we need to be, of course, focused on the Lord Jesus, knowing that we depend on him for everything in every year of our lives. So to recap, you might remember, because this is session three, you might remember that session number one was motivated to pray because, number one, we're commanded to pray in the scriptures. We do it because our Lord tells us to, and anything that God commands us is good. He's never given a command, ever, that was bad for his people. Not ever. And so we do it because we're commanded to do it. Secondly, we learned last week that we're motivated to pray, number two, because what a great privilege, what an amazing privilege prayer is. And we just looked at three of God's wonderful attributes. What I wanted to show you, instead of saying, you know what, you know, prayer's good, you should do it, I wanted to try to show you God. And we only had time to go over three attributes. He's inexhaustible. We could preach only sermons ever on his attributes, and I'd never finish, even down to the very last day of my life. God's inexhaustible. We'll never, ever, ever finish learning about him. And so we talked about his great knowledge, his great power, and his great goodness. And just those three I put out before you to try to show you what a privilege it is to just come into his presence. And I believe that with God's help, just those three were enough to show you what a privilege it was. Of course, I recommend studying God's attributes. It is a worthy study. I want to now try to, of course, convince you in this sermon about prayer being the way to our joy. And I want to talk about joy for a second, but I want to do it by telling you guys about a conversation I once had years ago. If I'm not mistaken, this was back in either 2002 or 2003. I was, at that point, working for a company that delivered, get this, premium dog food. That's what I did. Yep. Very fancy dog food. Delivered it right to people's front door. I had a special bin. I would just fill it up, and there you go. That's what they ordered. And there was a gentleman that worked with another company that shared our facility. Two different companies sharing the same facility and same warehouse. They worked on like siding and things like that. But we shared the same hallways. We had different offices, but we'd walk down the same hallways and go to the same warehouse and things like that. And it came up one day with this gentleman that I was a Christian and went to church and things like that. And then he said this to me. And I thought, he must have it backwards. But then I learned as we kept talking, no, this is what he meant. So he told me, he said, listen, I know a guy, maybe it was his father-in-law and uncle, I forget. He said, he's so godly, he almost never smiles. And I thought, surely he means he's so godly, he almost never stops smiling. That's what I thought he meant. He said, but that's what he said. As he kept talking and I was trying to get out of him, okay, what exactly are you saying here? And that's what he meant. He really meant that. He said something to the effect of, and this is so many years ago, I'm sorry, my memory's not that perfect, but something to the effect of, he's so godly, he almost never smiles. And I thought, you think that that's godliness? You think godliness means emotionlessness? The more godly you get, the more grumpy you get? Well, looking at some people, you would think that, though, wouldn't you? I've met some very religious people that were very grumpy. Like, I would not ever want to be like them, ever. And I'm thinking, if you're representing Jesus, then I don't want Jesus. And I can see why some people like that chase people away from the church. I side with them. I'm like, yeah, I'm with you. If that's God on earth, in the church, they're representing him, I'm with you. I don't want it either. And it's unfortunate that some people think, just like a friend of mine back when we were teenagers, we got on this topic of God and church and those things. This is back when we were foolish teenagers. And he said, yeah, thou shalt not have fun. And it's unfortunate that we sometimes equate godliness with no fun, no happiness, no joy. You're just always don't. And that's Christianity. How sad. Because I want to try to show you this morning that it's the opposite. Following Jesus is about fullness of joy. It really is. And I'm going to show you that from Jesus' own lips. I believe the more godly you are, the more joyful you should be. And of course, that doesn't mean you never have any problems, never have any tests, never have any trials. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about joy within any of those. Joy within any of those, because joylessness is not the end of godlessness. That's not the end goal, is it? Joylessness, I would say, shows a complete, utter misunderstanding of what truth actually is and what the gospel actually means for mankind. Because I assure you, Jesus didn't die, take the punishment for your sins, shed his blood, and rise again on the day so you could be grumpy and joyless. Not at all. Not at all. Some of the most joyless people you'll ever actually meet are some of the most legalistic people. They think, rules, 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 rules. Don't. I'm so godly, I don't do this, I don't do this, I don't do this, I don't do this, and I don't do this. That's how godly I am. I don't do any of those things. See how godly I am? Of course, they're like that because they're not free from believing that you've got to bring something to the table to make yourself like Jesus. That's their great trap, is I've got to bring something into the equation here. I've got to do and be and act and not do and not be and not act. And then I'll be like Jesus. And the reason that is so misconstrued is because there is some truth to the fact that we're not supposed to sin, right? Like, don't lie and don't steal. And don't commit adultery with your spouse and all those things. The Ten Commandments, right? They are in the negative, meaning thou shalt not. They say that, right? So yes, yes, part of that is true, but motive is the heart. If your motive is to be joyful in God, then those don'ts don't feel like don'ts. They feel like safe. This is safe. This is good. So, let's talk about this. Joy. Joy is mentioned a ton in the Bible. In the New Testament, if I'm not mistaken, joy is mentioned somewhere to the effect of 60-something times. The most dense collection of the word joy is found in the book of John. So go ahead and turn to John 16. That's where we're going to be this morning, John 16. I'm not going to read the entire dense collection of the word joy, but we are going to talk about them. But I do want to read this text, John 16, 20 through 24. John 16, 20 through 24. And this is what it says. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, other followers there as well, but especially the 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament. He's talking about his death. But the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful. But your sorrow will be turned into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world, especially her child, right? That's what he means by that. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. And that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy will be full. That's the main text that I'm basing all of this on this morning. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be what? Full. He's saying, you want full joy? Pray to me then. Ask me for things. Ask things in my name, is what he actually says, doesn't he? How many of you have a red letter Bible right now? How many of you are holding a red letter Bible? Okay. You'll see that there's a ton of red right there on your pages, aren't there? Right? All of chapter 17, well, almost every single verse in chapter 17 and chapter 16, 15, and 14, almost all those chapters are red, aren't they? Now, we know, and this is why some Bible translations have this. I actually have an older English Standard Version, but the newer English Standard Versions have gotten away from the red letters. Why? Well, because there's this misconception that the red letters are somehow more important than the black letters. But guess what? The black letters are also from God, too. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So the black letters are just as much the Word of God as the red letters. Though, you might have a conversation like I've had before with someone who's told me, yes, that's what Paul said, but Jesus said, as if the two are fighting against one another, and they're not. It's all inspired. So, this mass of red letters here, 14, 15, 16, and 17, all those chapters in John, are the last things that Jesus gets to say to his disciples face to face before he's arrested, because in John chapter 18, he's arrested. Just within the first 12 verses, he gets arrested there. And so, he's giving them all that he wants. This is the last time we're going to be together, so this is everything I want you to know. And guess what? We find the most dense collection of the word joy in this talk. Nowhere else in the Gospels do we see joy mentioned this many times as we do when Jesus is saying, these are the final things I want to say to you. This is what you need to know. Okay? This is your last time to get to study before the final. And here's everything you need to know. Here's a recap. Joy, 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 joy gets mentioned, if I'm not mistaken, 7 times. Joy. Crammed in there. Is that all he talks about? No. But he mentions it so many times. Why is that? Is that because the goal of Christianity is joylessness? I don't think so. Doesn't seem to be the case. Seems to be the opposite, which is why I thought that gentleman must have mixed up his words that day. He must have meant the opposite. And of course, he didn't. But Jesus tells us, ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. And he says, of course, that asking is to be done in my name, he says. praying in Jesus' name and asking in Jesus' name have small differences to them, but of course they also are connected. Maybe you played with bubbles when you were a little child like I did. I usually just spilled them all over my shoes. But playing with bubbles, you might notice that sometimes two of those bubbles in the air touch. And when they touch, very rarely will they just form into one big one. Normally they just touch and then they're stuck together, right? You can't break one or the other without destroying the whole thing. But they're stuck together at that point. But they're two still separate bubbles. Praying in Jesus' name and asking in Jesus' name is kind of like that. They're stuck together. They touch. They share some truths. But there's some slight differences to them. And let me tell you why and what they are. And we'll get to why I'm even bringing that up in the first place. But praying in Jesus' name means this. Why do we pray in Jesus' name? We end our prayers like that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Why do we do that? Why do we say that? What does that mean? Praying in Jesus' name gets me into the presence of God. I have no business being there otherwise, apart from Jesus. It's His righteousness that gets me into God's holy presence, just like the blood of the animal got the high priest into the most holy place with the tabernacle and temple were still standing. Could he have gone into the holy place without blood? Absolutely not. He would have been a dead man because he had no business being in there with all of his sin. Same with us. We have no business being in God's presence with our sin. It's not possible. So the only way we can be in God's presence is in Jesus' name. Covered in His righteousness. And that's what this is. That's what that means. When we pray in Jesus' name, we're saying, I'm coming into your presence because of Him, because of His righteousness. I know I don't deserve to be here otherwise, but I'm coming on because of Him. He gets me into your presence. He deserves answers. I don't. And I know that. That's why I'm coming in His name. And we get to go into His presence through Jesus, praying in Jesus' name. Now, what does it mean then to ask in Jesus' name? Up to this point, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask. So asking in Jesus' name, how it differs from praying in Jesus' name is this. Asking in Jesus' name means this. I'm asking for things that line up with, number one, who God is, God's character. I'm asking for things that line up with God's character. Number two, I'm asking for things that line up with God's will. And number three, I'm asking for things that are for God's glory. Everything that Jesus would ask for. Everything that lines up with what Jesus taught. Everything that not only lines up with the Word made flesh, but the Word written. That's what it means to ask in Jesus' name. When what I'm asking for in Jesus' name lines up with those three things, God is pleased to answer that prayer. You might say, Cohen, I'm not sure I'm buying that. Because I've asked for healing for this person or that person. I believe it's God's will for them to be healed. And I believe it would give God glory if this person was healed or if I was healed. I would totally give God glory for that. And I might say, you know what? I do think it lines up with God's character that He wants people healed. How do I know that? Jesus healed people. I also believe that you would give God glory for that. But is it always God's will for someone to be healed? Always? It's not. Johnny Erickson Tata, you ever heard of her? She's in a wheelchair. She has use of just a few fingers on one hand now. Wasn't always like that. But otherwise, she's paralyzed from the neck down. Why? Diving accident when she was an older teenager. The water was more shallow than she thought. She hit her neck, hit her head, and it broke her neck. She was very, very angry about that for years after it happened. But now she's one of the most godly people you could ever meet. She's still living. Because of her wheelchair, She has done so much in ministry. Because of her wheelchair, she's become closer to God. She's even started a camp called Johnny and Friends for Other Handicapped Children. And she can now say, she says this, I've heard her say it, or read it. She says, I thank God for my wheelchair. You know how many times she prayed in the beginning for God to heal her? She even went to those like healing conferences, healing meetings to get healed by this guy up on stage that was claiming he could heal her. And guess what? She never got healed. And to this day, she says, I'm thankful I didn't get healed. I thank God for this wheelchair. She's become so much more like the Lord Jesus because of the accident. She's closer to God than she ever would have been because of the accident. You and I think, because listen, I'm a human too. I felt pain before too. I don't like pain either, like you don't like pain. You're not supposed to like pain. And I want you to be healed. I want all of you to be healed from anything that's ailing you. I want that. I believe that's good for you. But God knows what's best for you. And did you know that your spirit will live on for eternity? Your body is so very temporary. Your spirit being made like Jesus is so much better than your body being whole. And I know I'm saying that as a 41-year-old with a whole body, right? I mean, I'm whole. Look at me. I'm healthy. I'm walking around. It's easy to say that on a nice Sunday morning when everything's going pretty good, right? So I get that. I know. I'm not foolish enough to think that suffering doesn't sometimes change the way someone thinks. But what I'm saying is true. And so asking in Jesus' name, when it lines up with those three things, we're sure to get the answer. But God's will is not always your will. Even Jesus in the garden said, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus knew what it means to drink the full cup of the wrath of God and be separated from the Father. He knew what that meant. He wasn't so afraid of the thorns and the nails, guys. Yeah, that was going to be painful. That's not what was gnawing at his soul so much. There was about to be a momentary split in the Trinity that had never happened and will never happen again. And that's what was frightening him. But it was God's will. And it was good for us, wasn't it? So when your prayers line up with those three things, the answers you get will have the goal of fullness of joy. Not fullness of emotionlessness, but fullness of joy. That's the goal. And I can say that standing on Jesus' words. Now, Jesus had more to say about joy just then in this little section here that I read. In this collection of words, chapter 14, 15, 16, 17, Jesus had a lot more to say that he connected to joy also. So turn to John 15, verse 9. John 15, verse 9. I want to show you why I believe that obedience to God's commands and also why love for others is also the key to asking for right things in Jesus' name. I'm not just going to stand up here and say, you better ask for those right things in Jesus' name. You better just figure out what they are and ask for them. I'm going to give you a few steps, a few things also that I think will be a part of the connection to asking the right things in Jesus' name and fullness of joy, because these things all lead to joy, which we'll talk more about in just a second. I'll show you how they're connected. But I just want to walk through this text, starting in verse 9, and we're going to go down to verse 17 and show you some connections, some really cool connections that are here as Jesus connects back to joy. So look at verses 9 and 10. Jesus here is going to talk about obeying his commands. Look at this. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commands, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and abide in his love. Then watch what he connects to obedience to commands. Watch what he connects to it. Look at the next verse, verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. He connects fullness of joy to obedience to God's commands. Okay? Now, look at this. Look what he also connects to obedience to God's commands and joy. He connects this to it. This is my command, that you love one another as I have loved you. So now he attaches loving one another to that too. Obedience to God's commands, fullness of joy, loving each other. What else? Look at verse 15. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from the Father, I've made known to you. Then look at verse 16. Now he talks about asking in his name, which we've already just heard about in 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. And then he connects love to that again. Look at this. These things I command so that you will love one another. So obedience to God's command and joy. And then he also talks about loving each other, asking in his name, loving each other. All that's connected in those verses. It's like a chain, okay? It's like a chain that has links. Look at this illustration I made for you guys. So it's like a chain that's linked together. Obedience, he connects to joy. Loving others, he connects to joy. And then praying in his name, he connects to joy. All these things are connected. They all lead to joy. It's like a pathway to joy. And when they're all there, that's when the joy comes. They're connected. Because, like, for example, what if I just do one and leave out one of the other links? Let me ask you this. What happens to a chain when you take one of the links out, when one of the links breaks? It doesn't really work for what a chain's supposed to work for anymore, does it? Especially if you're trusting on that in that chain, if it's anchored to something, you're saying, let's put this anchor down so we don't float away in this storm. The chain breaks. Oops, we're goners. Let's say I do one of these and not one of the others. It's not going to work. Let's say I pray and I obey God's rules, but I don't love other people. Breaks the chain, right? Let's say I'm loving to others and I pray to some sort of God, but I don't obey any of his commands. We know people. The earth is full of people like that. They're very loving and they're very tolerant and they pray. Obedience to God's commands? No. I'm going to live the way I want to live, son. I'm going to do what I want to do. Don't be telling me what to do. Live with my girlfriend if I want to. Cuss if I want to. Look at pornography if I want to. Don't be telling me what to do. But I'm loving and I pray. Doesn't work either. No joy there. When all three are there, obedience to God's commands, as we find in God's words, loving one another. What's the greatest command? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Second one's like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then prayer. Those things there, those two, obedience, loving others, they're going to feed right prayer as well, just to let you know. Prayer is going to be prayed more rightly when those things are being done as well. And they all lead to joy. Do you see how that's working? Jesus connects them all. He connects them all. believers have their joy filled up as they depend on God to do God's work. When I'm depending on God to do God's work in God's way, then I have fullness of joy. When I try to do things my way, trusting in my strength, my wisdom, just going to let you know, I usually mess things up. And I can say this with certainty. So do you. So do you. Think about the things that you regret most in life. Is it because you were following God? Because you were obeying God? Loving God? Doing what God wanted? More than likely, no. More than likely, it's because you were doing what you wanted in your way, in your strength, ignoring God. I've never walked in full obedience to God and then afterwards said, I really wish I wouldn't have done that. That was a really bad choice. No, that's never happened to me. And I'm saying that as someone who sold almost all of our possessions, fit what we could into 14 suitcases, and moved to a developing country and lived there for almost 5 years. And ate food that I knew that if I eat this, I'm going to throw up afterwards. But I've got to be respectful to this person here that's invited me into her thatched roof hut. Thank you so much. Shared the gospel, went home, threw up. There's a missionary prayer, Lord, I'll get it down if you keep it down. So even in all that, leaving family behind and missing birthdays and missing funerals even, I can tell you now, I'm not sorry I walked in obedience to God. Not at all. Not at all. Believers have their joy filled as they depend on God to do God's work. When they see God at work in the world as a result of their prayer, in their own lives as a result of their prayer, and as he makes them more like Jesus as a result of their prayer, their joy is filled up. And your joy will be too. And all this happens, like I said, as a result of prayer. When we're actively seeking God for those things, actively seeking them from God, depending on God, knowing they line up with his will. As I'm also being obedient, walking in obedient love, love for God and love for others. So let me just end with these words from Jesus. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Amen? Amen. Pray with me. Lord, thank you so much for the fact that we have your word. You speak to us, Lord. The fact that your Holy Spirit moves among us. Lord, I want to ask right now, I want to ask that you would please put in our hearts right now how you want us to be more like Jesus. Lord, I pray that right now you would show each one of us how you want us to be more like Jesus. Whether there's a sin that we need to confess, there's something that you've been putting on our hearts perhaps for a long time that we're supposed to be walking out in obedience to that command and we just haven't. Maybe someone we need to reconcile with that we've not been willing to. Maybe an apology I need to make. Maybe someone I need to share Jesus with. Lord, it's going to be different for each one of us, but I pray, speak to hearts now. Help us to walk out in obedience, to love one another, and to pray for those things that bring about lining up with your character, lining up with your will, and are for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name.